This is CX of M Radio, the voice of customer experience professionals.
Hello, and welcome to another World of UX podcast. This is your host, Darren Hood. Thanks, everyone, for taking the time to join us on today, and a very special welcome to those of you joining us for the first time. For those of you who have been following the series, we thank you again for the feedback we've been receiving and for the different thoughts, the different sentiments. The last one I heard, someone said, you know what, everything you're talking about is happening at my job right now. So a lot of people think that what we're talking about in this series about sinister traits in UX is irrelevant, or why even talk about this stuff. There are people that are they're upset that I'm talking about it, but they're not upset about the people that are doing what I'm talking about, and they are part of the sinister equation today. Until we decide, every discipline has to stand up and call for, embrace, and be committed to ethics associated with the particular discipline, or that discipline will suffer. Anytime ethics are not held in a pinnacle position in a discipline, things go south. And being that UX is relatively new, we can't afford that. We can't afford the types of things that I'm talking about right now. And as said multiple times, these are not things that are just happening to me. Some of these things are happening to other people. I'm getting the downloads. I'm sharing them to help illustrate the points. Somebody actually asked me one time, do you have data for this? How arrogant and ridiculous is that? Who's going around documenting data about this stuff? And the fact that we don't have scientifically documented data about these things does not negate the fact that they are happening, have happening, and will happen, because people are not taking a stand. And the people who have that type of mindset, they're the ones that are either doing what we're talking about, or they're empowering people to do what we're talking about. Again, that's the underlying message in this series is, in order for UX to thrive, we have to put ethics back in its proper place. And this is really, really critical, really, really important, and I hope people are taking it to heart. But there's a lot of stuff to cover today, and it really takes a lot to share this. I almost decided to forego this week's topic and move on toward the closing. There's two more segments after this one to be shared, but the more I heard from people, the more I thought about it, it hit me. You know what? As much as it might hurt to a degree, because it does hurt a little bit to talk about these things, people need to know these things are happening, and people need to, somebody is going to hear these things and get the courage to take a stand against them instead of helping these people to do what they're doing. Because that's what's happening in a lot of cases. People are making these people feel welcome and comfortable, and they'd rather have a hands-off approach, not knowing that that negligence is indirectly empowering and encouraging the behavior. We have to hold people responsible. We have to. And until people are concerned and afraid to do these things, not only are they going to continue, they're going to continue ramping up. And they have been ramping up over the years, and they'll continue to do so as long as people know they can do it without suffering any consequences, without having any setback, without doing damage to their own reputation. They're going to continue doing these things. And a lot of the people that I know about firsthand, they are not losing any of their momentum, and they have people that are very close, and they keep people who will do this close at hand so that they encourage them. There's a conviction. We all have a conscience, and people have a conviction, and they know what they're doing is wrong. And some of these people will actually engage in activities to suppress their consciences so they feel better about what they're doing. And I'm going to share one of those stories as we go forth here today. But there's a lot of stories here, a lot of things I want to share. It's painful to cover it, but it has to be done. And a lot of people won't do it. I'm actually making a sacrifice in doing it. And I'm not going to stop talking about it because somebody wants me to stop. Something else to mention about the people who want me to stop, something else in addition to what I've already said, a lot of those people are entitled. We cannot allow ourselves to become the slave of entitlement. What do I mean? There are people who all the things I'm talking about are going on. There are some people that even though these things are happening, they're not experiencing it. So since they're not experiencing it because of their entitlement, they don't have any concern. But that's how we got here, because there are people for years who could have said something and never did, even though they knew it was happening or somebody told them. I remember telling somebody once about something that was inappropriate that I observed that was happening on our team. I was having a one-on-one, a skip level meeting, as we call them. And I was talking to my boss's boss, and I was expressing a concern. They're talking about open door. They're talking about how we should be our genuine selves and all this song and dance stuff that people are doing that they don't really mean in today's culture. And I let the person know, and they just poo-pooed it off. Oh, I've never seen that. So in their saying, I've never seen it, they dismissed it as being unrealistic and not needing any attention. But that's why it was running so rampant on that team. And nobody had experienced it before me, because they were all pretty much of the same ilk. Everybody on the team was the same person, duplicated. And so they didn't care. They weren't doing anything to each other, because none of them deserved to be, frankly. I'm just being really raw here. None of the people in their positions deserve to be in the positions. They knew they didn't deserve to be in the positions. That's usually where you see this kind of stuff being encouraged, this type of behavior, and this type of behavior being empowered and licensed. That person said they had never seen it before. Nobody else is going to admit that they had seen anything before. And so that way it continues. And I was the only one that was a threat to it in that particular environment. And of course, I suffered the consequences because I was the only one who really cared that it was happening. My boss didn't care. My boss's boss didn't care. Other managers didn't care. And so it continued. To this day, I'm not at that company anymore. And to this day, it's still happening because nobody cares. Across the discipline, that same type of thing is happening. I have had people confirm it. I know what I saw. It's funny how people try to tell you didn't see what you saw. That's the gaslighting thing, which we've already addressed, which is very prevalent in UX circles today. You know what you saw. You know the sky is blue. You know your car either needs gas or an electrical charge or both. You know that mail is going to come today, more than likely. You know that the traffic light's going to turn red, and then eventually it will turn green. You know it's either going to rain, it's going to snow, the sun's going to... There's things we know, and these are the types of things we know they're going to happen. They are happening in increased volume as we move forward in the discipline, and it always works against the UX team. That's the thing that a lot of people aren't catching. When these things I'm talking about in this series are happening, somebody gets over because of it. Somebody benefits because of it, which one of the reasons why they're doing it, just selfish little buggers, that they only care about themselves and they think that they're going to facilitate their own success, but they do it at the expense of their UX teams, the UX operation, the UX team's reputation. Not good. So at any rate, let's get into some of these very uncomfortable stories that I want to share. And some people, again, will embrace it and some people will ignore it. And if you ignore it, it's just going to turn around and bite you eventually, including the people who are entitled. They get bit too, and then they come running to you about what happened to them. I always find it laughable. It happens often, and I find it laughable. If you want to deal with it the right way, you have to be concerned about it when it's happening. If you're not concerned about it, then that means you're going to let it pass on, and you're going to suffer the consequences as a result. So here are the stories. There's a bunch of them here. And I'm going to sort of run through these in somewhat of a rapid fire kind of way today to help everybody just to hear them. We're not going to spend a lot of time. Maybe here and there we might spend a little bit of time on one, but I sort of just want to go through these and make the points. The first one involves, and I think we've talked about this a few times, but it's amazing how many companies, they avoid hiring real seniors as seniors. We talked recently about how that UX has been redefined, the seniority, the scale of maturity through the titles in UX has been redefined. It's been completely skewed. And a lot of these companies now, they don't want to hire real seniors as seniors. They're giving it to people, the senior positions, to somebody that's not qualified. And they refuse to hire real seniors as managers or directors also. So when this happens and they give those positions to people who are far less qualified, what happens as a result is the real seniors, the real seasoned people end up becoming displaced. So that's why so many UX teams don't have real seniors. So many UX teams do not have a proper mentoring structure within their companies, which everybody should, which is why this predatory mentoring is going on, because a lot of companies don't have somebody that would serve as a mentor on the team. If they do hire them, I've seen this often, if and when they do hire a person that can function as a mentor, a true mentor that actually has the experience that the rest of the team can draw on, that doesn't last very long because there's always somebody with an inferiority complex that they hate the fact that they're not being looked up to. They hate the fact that they can't be the mentor. They hate the fact that they're in a lesser position. And that's the way they view it. We've all been in entry-level roles. We've all been in, if you've grown up, anybody who's come up the ranks, you're going to go through the steps. Today, people want to go straight to the top. And then there are some people, they're flat-out narcissists, and narcissists do not do well in UX because they got to get somewhere fast. They got to be the person everybody looks up to. And if they're not, then they just start destroying everything. Folks, this is happening. It's scary, and it's happening. And when they're not there, those are like the situations where I mentioned where there's this one senior that I know of, not me, somebody else, and they work with about five entry-level people. And instead of growing properly, they'd rather discard the senior and take that person's role, even though they're not qualified. They actually work to get the person fired. Ridiculous stuff. And it sounds like something out of a movie or a comedy skit off Saturday Night Live, but it's happening, folks. These things are real. So we cannot allow the displacement of truly seasoned people. Truly seasoned people, and I'm not saying that because I'm one of them. I'm saying it because it's important. It was important when I was coming up in the discipline. And ironically, I should mention this also, and I know some people are experiencing this as well. When I was a more junior UX person, I worked with people that I consider to be more senior. They had more experience than me. There were instances where I had people that were great. They were great. They supported you. They helped you grow, things of that nature. But I also worked with some. So there's both types out there. We know this, and I'm acknowledging this because some people think I don't recognize it. Number one, that's just silly. I've seen it, so I know. So please don't lambaste me with silly arguments or bring up a straw man position, because that's not a thing. But I do think it's important for me to acknowledge it here. So I am that I remember being on a team once working with a person who had a master's degree, a UX related master's degree, and they were really knowledgeable. Person never did anything to help me grow. So there are some people that already are accomplished. They are more seasoned, and they have absolutely no desire to help the more entry-level people grow up. Yeah, that's sinister too. It's sinister. So I know some people are out there. I'm not like that. I really personally, of the people that I do run in my circles with today, they all love giving back. They all love helping people. They all are sold out for the good of the discipline. And so this is something that we want to see. We want to hear, other than the seniors, the war amidst seniors that I talked about last week, because there's a lot of that too. And I didn't mention that last week, but that's one of the situations. So when there's a senior that should be giving back, they should give back. When they don't, and if you have one of those seniors, then understand what you need to do to navigate that space. And if you see that they don't want to contribute to your well-being or help you grow, then so what? Go get some books and grow anyway. That's what I did. I did not let that person stop me, and you shouldn't let these people stop you. So there's enough for that. Another situation. There was a situation where some of you already know, I have a lot of book recommendation lists on the UX Uncensored blog. And there's one that is pretty much a free-for-all. It's like I throw everything on that list, regardless of the category of book. And then I have other lists that are created by book type. On the book list that is an all-inclusive book list, I call it my living, breathing book recommendation list. One of the things I did when I put that list together was to not categorize them. I purposely did that. Now, remember, that you're talking about a person who came up as an information architect. You're talking about a person that's well-skilled in information architecture. You're talking about a person who has a master's degree in information architecture. And I know what information architecture is, and I know how to do it and things of that nature. But sometimes there needs to be a method to the madness, and there's a time, and this was one of those times, when you have an actual experience that is official, connected to an institution, things of that nature, you don't have time to forego information architecture. I purposely did not ascribe information architecture to this list. Not only did I not do it purposely, but it's documented on the page, or it's mentioned that there is no structure to the list. It's on the page. I did that for one express purpose, and it was to ward off any lazy-minded people, because there's a lot of people who come into UX, they think it's easy. There's a lot of people in UX today that want everybody else to do their work for them. There's a lot of people who want everything handed to them on a silver platter. They came up with silver spoons, and they come into UX with a silver spoon mindset. No, I know that having a strong work ethic is critical to succeeding in UX. So for that reason, I omit the structure. And then the goal is, the way that experience is designed, and yes, I do believe you can design an experience, and I know you can, so I don't even have those conversations with people. When you go onto that page, the goal is that you just go through the list. Who knows what's going to stand out to you? And something is going to stand out to each person as they go through the list. Different books will sort of jump out, so to speak, at somebody else as they go through the list. That's the way that the experience was designed, for it to impact people in that way. I wasn't trying to put things in the categories. And again, I purposely left them out. And for the most part, only the lazy people are going to miss out. And who cares if the lazy people miss out? So it's a little bit of a booby trap, if you will, a cognitive booby trap to leave the organization out. But again, I did it on purpose. There was a situation, this is sort of akin to the war amidst seniors. And this happened on, my memory serves me correctly, three separate instances where I was doing in a live session with someone, and the book list came up as a topic of discussion, and the person each time would go out of their way to try to make me look bad because I did not ascribe a list, even lambasting me to a live audience, criticizing me for not putting categories on there, telling me I needed to do something with information architecture. And person also has a history of trying to sort of light into me any chance they had an opportunity to sort of lay into me, to find something to criticize me about that they knew it was something that I was big on, and try to make any of my efforts look like they should be ignored. This person has a tendency to do that. There's a whole bunch of evidence. I don't disrespect the individual, anything of that sort. If you saw any of these things that I'm talking about, it's there. I'm not calling it out. I'm not trying to start a war or anything. I'm just calling out. It is what it is. And when a person does that, there are some people who see it and then they don't like the fact, they know what they see. Oh my God, I don't believe that person did that to Darren. But they don't want to think that that person did anything, so they decide to be hands off and back up. And that's that cowardice that I talk about also. I am calling those people out for doing that. Well, the last time that happened, I decided to not let the person get away with it. And I decided to call the person out. And I mentioned on the live show that why that was done. And then the person just sort of was shocked. And I guess they realized that they ended up making themselves look bad by trying to call me out. And I was, that was like sort of the beginning of me. I'm sort of fed up with seniors going off on other seniors and trying to make themselves look good at somebody else's expense. That type of thing is, it's inexcusable. It's inappropriate. It's rude. It's sinister, folks. It's just downright sinister. So we want to make sure that we are not doing things like that today. Next story. There was another time, speaking of book recommendation lists, there was a time where, I always loved connecting with other UXers and just talking and this was maybe in the earlier times of when a lot of these meetups started to become more prevalent. And I went to a meetup and somebody brought up something about books. And I said, you know what? Let me share my book recommendation list. Somebody might find it useful. It wasn't to put myself out there. It wasn't to make myself look like a particular kind of person or a particular kind of way. It wasn't done from a competitive standpoint. It was just, hey, if somebody might benefit from this, here it is. Check and see if there's a book on here that might tickle your fancy. And then in my mind, you know, you mention it, you move on. Again, there are some people, they've got to be the center of the show. They've got to be the main attraction. They've got to be the one that everybody looks up to. And you know when you see these people, because when somebody does something and if they feel like they're being outshined, that's when they're going to, like, unprovoked, for no reason, they're going to do what they're going to do. So I mentioned my book recommendation list. And the sinister activity in this case, the response was, I have a book recommendation list too. And they didn't actually, that I just remembered, that person didn't say that was their book recommendation list. They said, here's my library. This is my book recommendation list. It's not my library. I would not wish my library on anyone, because you would not believe how large my library is. I'm not going to do that to anybody because I think that's inconsiderate. All the books that I have might not be of interest to you. Why would I recommend something that's off topic? Why would I recommend something that's out of context? So I make it a point. That's why you have the book recommendation list. At any rate, the person saw my book recommendation list and immediately they wanted to, I guess, didn't want to be outshined. And they start talking about theirs. And they did it in a way that you knew that this was not a figment of anybody's imagination. They were competing in the moment, and I thought, really sad. And then after that, the person proceeded to, every chance, every time you engage with this individual after that, it was always a, can you top this moment? And I blocked the person eventually because I don't have time for that. I'm not doing that. I'm not competing with anybody. And that's on one side of the coin. On the other side of the coin, you are talking about a former professional athlete. You don't want me to compete. So we're not doing, I'm not going to do it. I don't compete with people. But unless, if we're going to go bowling, we're going to compete. If we're going to go play some other sport, we're going to compete. That's where it belongs. But no, here, no, I'm just trying to share mine. And they showed their library, and it was funny because their library had all of about 30 books in it. That's not a library. If you went to the library and they only had 30 books, you'd feel pretty bad, right? You wouldn't go back to that library a second time, I'm sure. So it's just interesting that the person did that. So no real investment. I encourage people. I want to discourage people. Don't compete with other people. Don't feel like you have to outshine somebody. None of this stuff is a competition. And we need to carry on in that way. And in that way, remember, we're always a steward of the discipline. We're always representing the discipline. We're always an ambassador of the discipline. And taking time to compete with someone does the discipline a disservice. So let's remember that. Speaking of meetups, we'll piggyback there. I didn't realize how many nice little piggybacks I set up here. But I went to a meetup, and this is one of those ad hoc meetups. Somebody's going to recognize this, I'm sure. But I went to an ad hoc meetup and love to just, let's just touch base. Let's just talk about UX. Let's just support one another. Let's just encourage one another, yada, yada, yada. So we're in this session, and apparently, again, somebody who wanted to compete, somebody who wanted to play, can you top this? Somebody who wanted to show themselves as being some big wig and was apparently threatened when the person who was running the meetup shared my credentials with the people who were attending. They always call out the more senior people so that the people on the call know who the more senior people are and why we're jumping in and saying certain things of that nature. That's a proper thing to do. Well, this other person, I guess they were pretty upset with the fact that I was called out. And so they decided to attack me in a passive aggressive manner in front of the 20, 25 people or so who were in this particular meetup. And the person decided to call me out in front of everybody and ask me a question. And they asked me a question as if I didn't have an answer, as if my answer was going to be short-sighted, as if my answer was not going to be very serviceable. I could tell the person was racist and the person had an inferiority complex. I mean, some people don't realize how much people experience some of us have, and you can like read people in a matter of seconds. And it was really sad to see what he did. And it really backfired on him because the person tried to make themselves look like they should be looked to more than me. You could tell they were doing that. And when I answered the question in detail, it shocked the person because I let them know the way I was approaching the question, how I was handling it from a cognitive perspective. It wasn't the way that they figured. And they had not counted on that. It's just really sad when people do things like that, but very, very sinister. If we get on a call, when they talk about other seniors, I couldn't care less. I'm glad to hear that other people have a certain amount of experience. But it's really sad when you see people that you know that they're operating with a certain degree of hubris. People who've only worked at one company have narrow perspectives. I don't think people understand that. I don't care how much experience you have or how long you've been at a particular company. If you've only worked at one company, your perspectives are going to be on the narrow side. So they can only bring a certain vantage point, and it's not going to be very diverse. So you have that. You have people who had 8 years of experience, and hey, you got 8 years of experience. Happy for you. Congrats. But you don't touch those who have 28. You don't touch those who have 18. You don't touch those who have 15. And so people need to, I love, someone gave a great analogy one day in talking about the issues, some of the ambiguities associated with UX maturity. And there are some in the discipline. I understand that. And I acknowledge that as well. I thought the person made a great point, and they compared it to the seniority spectrum in UX. They compared it to like rankings in martial arts. And I thought that's a dynamite perspective. And you wish we could do something like that. That's sort of like Six Sigma. That they have belts assigned in Six Sigma. And so there is no confusion when somebody is a black belt in Six Sigma. There is no question as to what that person brings to the table. You sort of wish we did have something like that in UX. Because there are some people, I mean, I remember I'm a former Taekwondo and Shotokan student. Actually, and I had a brown belt in Taekwondo, and I quit a long time ago. And I had a green belt, I believe it was, in Shotokan. But within each of those, I think about the old Taekwondo days, there was white belt, which was a beginner. Then they ended up adding a yellow belt in between white and green. Then there was green, and there was brown, and there was red, there was blue, and there was black. And there was two degrees or two levels in yellow, green, red, I'm sorry, green, brown, red, blue. You had two levels within each of those. And then black belt could go all the way up to, I believe it was ninth degree at the time. I believe they've even gone beyond that now. But when you saw, so you walk in and you see people wearing their belt, you know the level of expertise that person has based on that. It would be great if we had that because there's nothing but ambiguity in UX today. You have people who are claiming to be seniors and they're actually white belts. They're beginners. You have people claiming to be principal. You have people claiming to be lead and they are not. And all this kind of stuff, it just skews perspectives and perceptions of the discipline. But, you know, people, they see, I mean, you could get upset. You could be a green belt and walk in, see a blue belt and get upset all day. It wasn't going to get you where the blue belt was. And then you are not going to sit up there and spar with that blue belt. That was not going to happen. Not if you are interested in picking yourself up off the floor multiple times, so to speak. Nobody was going to do that. And this, even though it doesn't exist formally in UX, it does exist. Jacob Nielsen, for all the people who are trying to call him out and throw rocks at him today, the dude's a ninth degree black belt, the equivalent thereof. Jesse James Garrett, ninth degree black belt. Susan Wineshank, ninth degree black belt. You're not gonna mess with these people. And you have these people today that are basically stealing someone else's belt, if I can use that metaphor, and trying to present themselves in that light. People who were saying that, I gave the example, I believe it was a couple of weeks ago, they said that they were a seasoned UX practitioner, and the person is the equivalent of, based on that example I just gave, is no more than a yellow or a green belt and claiming to be seasoned. You can only, the yellow belt and the green belt can only truly impress white belts. The people who are beyond that person, they're not impressed by you, so to speak. They're not looking to take advice from you, though we will listen to anybody. We're not looking, we're not going to turn everything upside down. And UX today is an upside down discipline because we're calling people who are on the lower spectrum, we're respecting them as if they were higher spectrum people. And it's not good for the discipline, folks. We're not against anybody advancing. We're not against what anybody is doing. But if we don't stop doing this, if we don't stop encouraging this type of upside down behavior, we're going to continue to suffer the consequences. I can't say that too many times today. So yeah, the person tried to call me out, didn't work. It didn't pan out too well. I recognized what they were doing, knew that it wasn't a good thing, and we need to be careful of that. And those who are new in the discipline, they even hear me talk about things like this, and sometimes they'll ask me, well, Darren, what can I do? And I've told many people, nothing. You don't have a filter. It's not your job to tend to this matter. The best thing you can do is keep growing. The best thing you can do is keep maturing where you are. The best you can do is keep learning more and more about the discipline. Keep grounding yourself in the fundamentals of UX. When the time comes for you to be that full-on ambassador, you'll be in a better position to execute that. But if you try to step forward and do something before it's time, you're just going to get hurt. I remember a person that, oh, they just wanted to have a voice in the discipline. They wanted to help everybody grow. And they went and they started a community. That person disappeared in thin air. They didn't realize what they were lifting. They didn't realize how heavy the burden was. That person disappeared in the thin air, and I think they left the discipline. I haven't seen hide nor hair of that individual in so long because they want to be seen. They want to be somebody that's looked to by everybody, and they don't realize you don't have what it takes to be there yet and don't realize what's awaiting you if you try to ascend to that. The people that you're going to come across, you're not ready to deal with them cognitively, they're going to take you out. Because there's a lot of people in UX today, they don't care about your well-being. They don't care about you as an individual. They're in UX, but they don't empathize with anybody, and they will do a number on you. And if you put yourself in their crosshairs, you're sort of asking for it. So I make sure that people don't do that. The people that I help, the people I mentor, the people I encourage, the people I interact with, please don't do that. You don't realize what you're getting yourself into. That person, I tried to let the person know not to do that. They went and they did it anyway. And now you don't see them anywhere. Anywhere. Gone. They don't post anything. They don't like anything. They just disappeared in the thin air. I mean, I hope they're okay. But basically, they're non-existent in the discipline. So I'm sure nobody, if you don't want that to happen to you, please heed my words. I am presenting this for your good. I'm looking out for you. So I hope you take this to heart today. Next, I have a hiring story. Well, sort of a job story. But I was being considered for a UX job at a very high-profile consultancy. Somebody I was just going gaga. I couldn't believe I was getting an interview with this company. I put them on such a high pedestal. I held them in such high regard until all of this went down because I found out they were sinister. And the word was that the company, I was told by someone else, the company was extremely impressed with me. But instead of hiring me, what they did was, and I found out, but I won't even get into some of the details because some people just can't take it. So there's some things I know that I won't say. But they had a connection with somebody who worked with me. So what they did was they did what these companies do. And it's like, it's not really legal. It's not ethical for sure. I mean, because we know, everybody knows people and there's references. And then sometimes a lot of people in the UX community know each other. And so what they did was they couldn't believe how on point I was. And I'll say this. They didn't want to believe how on point I was. It was like they were actually offended by the fact that I was on point. Yeah, they were willing to interview me, but man, they didn't expect what they got in the interview. And they do know how to interview, and I will give them that. But they had direct access to, and I'll even be more specific, the person who was my boss at the time. So the person, the key person, that was interviewing went to my former boss, my boss at the time, because I was going to be leaving that current boss and going to them if I got the offer. And my boss confirmed, yep, Darren is the real deal. Love having Darren work here. He does a fantastic job. Love it. Very great talent. Why? What's going on? Well, we just interviewed him. And so they go back and forth. These folks, some people are going to be shocked. This happens, folks. We may not like it, but this happens sometime. They started an unofficial, if you will, negotiation that he said, if you take Darren from me, you owe me. He told me that. My former boss told me that. He told them that if you take Darren from me, you owe me. Big time. And so, yeah, you guys, you take him if you want, but you got to be willing to pay the price. So do you know that we're dealing with that sometime? With these jobs? Just throwing it out there so people know. Eventually, long story short, I didn't get the job. But you know what they did? Instead of hiring me, they changed the rec. Hired a person. This is the first time I ever experienced this in my career. First time. I won't tell you when it was because I don't want you to know who it was. But it was the first time that I experienced this in my career. And they've changed the requisition and they hired. I met the person that eventually got the job. And I found out that this person had way less qualifications than me. But they didn't care. They just flat out did not care. Painful, right? Crazy, right? It happens, folks, and very, very sinister. Here's the other thing about the sinister stuff I'm mentioning that some people might want to keep in mind. This is the real world. This is going to happen. You see people on LinkedIn, man, I've applied to 100 jobs. I sure am tired. Don't allow yourself to get tired. You've got 100 more to apply to. And that's the entitlement on the behalf of the job seekers. Sometimes they want everything to be laid out for them. They don't want to have to work for anything. If you don't want to do the work, you're in the wrong field. You're in the wrong field, flat out. Got to work if you're going to come over here. Next one. There are work who will downplay the work of some people, but at the same time put other people on a pedestal simply out of bias. There's no merit involved. There's no merit being considered. There's no ethical components or considerations at all. I remember somebody, they wanted an intern to be hired. So they wanted the intern to be hired and put into a UX role. So they started actually misrepresenting the senior because they thought that the intern could do just as good a job as the senior. So they began to misrepresent the senior. They began to throw the senior under the bus. They began to assassinate the character of the senior because they just wanted to just get rid of the senior and give the job to this person. And it was also that particular instance that I'm aware of is also, it was one of sexism and it was cronyism because there was a connection between the person who was doing it, heading up this terrible sort of under the radar type of an execution. And they also wanted to see a young lady get the role and they wanted to see the guy who was the senior. They wanted to see him out of a role. Sinister, folks. Downright sinister. So they downplayed the work that the senior did and everything the other person did. Anytime they sent out a notice about that person's work, it always included a whole bunch of accolades. They never shared accolades with anybody else's work when they shared it, but they put that person on a pedestal. And what that person did was actually, it wasn't anything spectacular or anything like that. They just liked the intern. I've had interns before. You like interns. You're excited. You want to hire interns, but you don't throw somebody else out on the street. You don't misrepresent somebody. You don't do something unethical because you want to hire the intern. But that kind of stuff is sinister today. And yeah, I know somebody's saying, this happens everywhere. It doesn't just happen in UX. Well, again, I repeat, we're here to talk about UX. I know it happens everywhere else, but that's irrelevant. We are a new discipline. We are still evolving. We are still growing. Most people still don't know who we are. And we have our own special little arena that we need to manage if we're going to be healthy. So forget when we're talking about what's happening in UX circles. And if you don't narrow your view and look at it that way, guess what? You're not going to be able to help. Guess what you're not going to be able to represent? So I challenge people, keep your view narrow. There's another situation I know about where there were people, they knew the person was a senior. They knew the person was well seasoned. And instead of, this is akin to something I've already mentioned, but instead of supporting that person and being happy that that person was on the team, and most people don't have real seniors on their teams. They just don't. As much as you might see it, it doesn't happen as much as you think it happens. Instead of that, they would do different things, continuously trying to misrepresent the person. And I've often seen this, and some of the stories I've heard are reflective of the matter that the person or persons doing the misrepresentation don't have the experience. So a lot of times those people don't value having a senior on the team. They don't value having a more seasoned person on the team. They don't tap into the more seasoned person to help grow themselves, and they're offended by somebody else's expertise. And that's why I've always found the best working environments I've ever seen for somebody like me is when there are other people like you, because nobody's threatened by you. But when a lot of times when the environment is not like that, very few exceptions, but when the environment is not like that, it's usually pretty hostile. It's usually pretty toxic because they just can't get over the fact that you know something they don't. And they don't see that as an advantage for themselves, which it really is. On top of the fact that having a real senior is a cash cow, because we just generate value over and over and over, hand over fist. But they don't realize that, and they'll never see it because a lot of us aren't tolerant of it, and we will leave because we're not going to stay in an environment that's not good for our health. Just the way it goes. So really crazy stuff. Next, as we go ahead into the home stretch today, there was a situation, I think I've talked about this before, but it bears repeating again today. There was a situation where I was, matter of fact, practically everywhere I go, I'm tasked with doing something to help drive the UX maturity in that organization. Ever since I started doing it my days at Bosch, ever since then, I've been tied into it. And even when I wasn't tasked to do it, I was doing it, and I ended up doing it anyway. From like 2012, 2013 forward, I started doing things like that. And it's interesting how I was in a situation where I was working for a company, talking with my boss about doing things to help drive UX maturity. We knew the team needed it. The team had been previously run by product designers that had everybody convinced that the UX team is nothing but a bunch of order takers. So we had to overcome that, try to really drive maturity for the organization. Everybody on the team knew that. There was a person, I helped the person get hired. Person actually got hired because of me. They were my recommendation. And the person came in, but as I've told this story before, I have helped many people get jobs only for those people to turn on you later. And this was one of those instances where I helped the person get the job. Then the person decided or were encouraged to do this. That part I do not know. But the person decided they wanted to take on a UX maturity initiative. But instead of coming to me, knowing that that's my thing, they actually sought the help of somebody outside of the organization, somebody who was one of those the war amidst seniors people who always sort of reveled in doing anything they could in any situation to make me look bad or make themselves look better at my expense. And that person partnered with the person I was working with, trying to help them do something to come up with a plan to help drive UX maturity while leaving me out of the process, doing it in spite of the fact that I was there. Folks, that's just sinister, folks. That's just downright sinister. They knew, especially the person who didn't work at the company, knew the potential detrimental impact it could have on me. Oh, and by the way, that initiative failed. The whole thing failed. Matter of fact, almost the whole team was disbanded, and they're all working somewhere else today. But that's pretty sad stuff, but that's what happened. But pretty crazy. But again, we're talking about sinister stuff. Team up with people on your team. Don't be one of those people who's always going outside, bringing people from outside into your organization. And there's a lot of people today that actually have people outside their companies doing their work too. Yeah, that's happening too. That's sinister as well. They're just marionettes. They show people outside the company, claim the person as their mentor, have the person give them ideas, do what that person said, and they sit there and they take credit for it. Sinister. Sinister, sinister, sinister stuff, folks. It's really, really crazy. But again, It's happening. It is what it is. Another scenario, I know of situations where there are some seniors, they like what somebody else is doing, but they're just so opposed to supporting somebody else that they'll do things like meet with you to get downloads so they can get credit for what you know. There's people that do that today. And this kind of thing, it's not a good idea. If there's somebody on your team that knows more than you, celebrate them, embrace them. Because if you treat them crazy, they're going to turn around. Eventually, they're going to leave. They're not going to put up with it, or you're going to suffer some consequences that you're not going to like. So just embrace the person. Befriend the person. Connect with the person. You're going to find out how much of a giving person. It won't be like what I was talking about earlier, where there's a person that I guess they saw how driven I was, so they just didn't want to help me. Darren doesn't need my help. I'm not going to help him. He's going to pass me. People say things like that, folks. People think things like that. And it's crazy. They'll tell you, I was jealous of you. Jealous for what? Just grow. Who cares? I don't even like to joke about things like that. I refuse to joke about things like that. Because some people, they say they're jealous, and they say they're kidding, but no, they actually are jealous. And they are envious. So it's nothing to joke about, especially because so many people are operating like that today. So don't be one of those people. I had a situation once where I was working on a product, came up with an idea. Something that was on the hardware side of things. I came up with an idea of something we could do that we could add some hardware onto this one particular product that we were doing design work for that would make the product more valuable to our users. And so it entailed documenting this idea, presenting it, winning everybody over, doing the pitch, getting support, only to find out that the team say, no, we should patent this. And yeah, I don't know how many people have experienced this, but they ended up getting a patent. Guess whose name was not on the patent? And when I asked about my name being on the patent, I'm excited. Wow, my idea is going to be patented. Wow, this is great. And when I found out, because they didn't tell me that it was being patented. And so when I inquired, wow, my idea is going to be patented. Man, I'm so excited. And then he said, well, your name's not going to be on it. I'm going, what? So in addition to the fact that a patent was stolen from me, I found out that the team compensated people whenever something that they did was patented. So I was cut out completely. How sinister is that? I had money taken from me. I had my recognition amongst people in leadership taken from me. I was robbed of just the general honor of having a patent. Man, that's crazy. Folks, that's what happens today. These are the types of things that can happen in UX circles, and it is happening in UX circles. We see this kind of thing in movies and on TV shows. You don't expect to experience it. So it seems sort of surreal, but folks, it is happening. So, and then lastly, here's the last one with a couple of sidebars on this one, but I'm known for being knowledgeable about the discipline. I just generally am. I'm noticed for being outspoken about many things. Sometimes we laugh about it. Sometimes it just is a thing. And so there are many people, and they tell me all the time, I'm thankful for people that do. I'm thankful for people that recognize the value, and they recognize I'm not doing this for me, but I'm doing this for the discipline at large. And so I'm very appreciative of those people. But there are many who take umbrage to what I do. Some people just in general because they have an inferiority complex. Some people have an issue because they're just being racist about things. I know, oh, Darren, you're playing the race card again. Well, if race was an issue for you, you would understand how I feel. So I hope you can at least try to relate to what I'm saying instead of trying to shoot what I'm saying down, because it's very real for me on practically a daily basis. So hopefully you can respect that. And there's a lot of other people that know what I'm talking about. And you have something that you are a minority in, and you've experienced hardship because of that minority. And so you understand what I'm getting at. But I'm not going to stop talking about that because somebody's uncomfortable with it. So, you know, here's an idea. Feel free to steal with this one. I talked once about coming up with a virtual reality experience that would help some people to understand what it's like to be of another race, to be of another gender, and interact with people in that virtual reality experience. And so you can see what people like me go through on a regular basis and how unmerited the treatment usually is. So practically always is. It's just really, really crazy. But at any rate, when you're subjected to racially motivated maltreatment, you do become extremely good at spotting it. Whether it could be racially, it could be from sexual orientation, it could be because of anything, but you become really, really good at spotting it, no matter how passive or micro-oriented it may be. We become very, very good. People who are discriminated against become very, very good at seeing it when it's happening. And so, you know, there are people who have complained, expressed complaints to me because I'm pursuing a doctoral degree. They complain. What business of that is yours? What difference does it make? But there are people, you still getting a doctoral degree, and then they don't say anything else. Why are you asking, and why do you care? It's really interesting. I get singled out and reprimanded for presenting my credentials. This happened. We were introducing ourselves. I've told this story before. I was introducing myself to a large group of people, and everybody was getting up and introducing themselves. My name is, my position is, my background and my credentials are, and this is what I can do for you. Have a seat. It's like a 1.5 minute introduction, and everybody was shuffling in and out, giving these 90 second or so intros. I was the only person who did that and was hunted down by people after the fact who complained about my introduction. My introduction was no different than anybody else's, but I was the only person that had multiple master's degrees. I wasn't even a doctoral student when that happened. So it was, or was I? Nah, I don't know. But they were upset about the master's degrees. Because, yeah, I have two. So what? I chose to do it, and that's fine. I used to get ridiculed because I didn't have a degree, and now I'm getting ridiculed because I have too many. You know, go figure. But I see other people that have multiple degrees, and they're going, ooh, that's really great. And then the same people will turn around and drag you through the mud because you have the same criteria as somebody else. They just pat it on the back. So go figure. So really sad stuff, but that's kind of stuff that happens, and it's sinister in its nature. If somebody has credentials, celebrate them. Somebody has a great background. I'm excited when I see people who have great and extended backgrounds. I'm excited to be able to learn from them. I'm excited and honored to be able to spend time with them. I'm not going to sit there and become offended and threatened by them, or you know, that doesn't make any sense at all. You know, we need to make it a point to give accolades to people when accolades are due, and we need to make it a point to regard people and recognize people when they have certain qualifications, certain experiences. That's all to that. But now you got people and they flip it. They give accolades to people with a fraction of the skill, a fraction of the productivity, a fraction of the accomplishments, and they'll do it while they ignore somebody else that does have all those things because they happen to be a minority. Folks, as we wrap up today, all these things are critically sinister. They are things that should not happen, but they do. They're things that we shouldn't have to deal with, but we have to deal with it. Know that these things are happening. If you haven't experienced it, know that they are, and give it some thought, and be ready to navigate them in a professional and a diplomatic fashion. Do yourself a favor and other people around you a favor by dealing with things the right way. It happens to me so much, it doesn't floor me anymore. Sometimes I'll just laugh when it's happening. And then sometimes I laugh because I know what that person is sort of cruising for in the process of doing it, because it's always going to come back and bite you when you do things like that. But me, I'm determined to remain professional no matter what. I'm determined to be honorable no matter what. I'm determined to embrace what other people bring to the table, no matter how nasty they may be toward me. I'm not going to become them. That's not them doing what they're doing to me is not an excuse to become them in my book. So I will never become those individuals. Absolutely never. So let's just make sure, keep those things in mind. These sinister things might be happening, but you don't have to become them, and you don't have to be overtaken by them and let them dictate who you are. Please don't do that today. But it does help to know what you're going to encounter and be ready to be better than what other people might be toward you. Folks, that is all the time we have today. Again, you might not think this is relevant in UX, but when you come face to face with it, you're going to find out it's very relevant and it's very critical. And you either have to navigate it when they're doing it to you or navigate it when you're mulling different thoughts around in your heart and making decisions about who and what you're going to be today. So let's make sure to be our best selves at all times, no matter what. So that is all the time we have for today, folks. So until next time, this is Darren Hood, the host of The World of UX, wishing everybody all the best. And until then, happy UXing, everybody.
Thanks for joining us for this session of CX of M Radio. Be sure to rate, review, and subscribe to the show, and visit cxofm.org for more resources.